Rag Jog from the first LP recording made by Ravi Shankar. He was accompanied on tabla by Chaturlal. Next week, we'll be hearing a full-length performance of Rag Kaushi Kanra from Ravi Shankar's classic live recording at Carnegie Hall in 2000.
And you can hear that at the same time next Sunday evening, 10:30, here on BBC Radio 3. World Roots was introduced by Lucy Duran.
What links Marcel Proust's Swan's Way, Apollinaire's groundbreaking volume of poetry Alcohol, Alain Fournier's novel Le Grand Moan, the Cubist movement, and the riotous premiere of Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring?
Stravinsky's music sounded like the creaking of 100 unoiled cartwheels.
Paris, 1913. An important year in the cultural history, not just of the French capital, but of the whole of Western Europe in the early 20th century.
The world's most beautiful city, and is still as fresh and startling now as it was a century ago.
Five big steps in one important year. The essay explores the cultural Paris of 1913. Weeknights this week at 10:45 on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 to 93 on FM. We're on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online in high-definition sound. It's a little after 11:15, and now Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. On this week's Jazz Lineup, highlights of special performances recorded at the 2012 London Jazz Festival, featuring two of the world's most loved and most influential jazz vocalists. One hails from Detroit, Michigan, and the other from Chicago, Illinois. So kicking off the night in front of a packed and very enthusiastic crowd at London's Queen Elizabeth Hall, Sheila Jordan, just a week away from her 84th birthday, swings effortlessly and leads her trio with style and panache. And after Sheila, arguably the world's greatest living male jazz singer, Kurt Elling, who takes to the stage and treats us to some incredible musicianship. Both Sheila and Kurt took part in the Hear Me Talking To You interviews with co-presenter Kevin LeGenre, and you can listen to those conversations after the opening set from Sheila Jordan. Sheila has a stellar trio of musicians accompanying her, Brian Kellock on the piano, Kenny Ellis on bass and Stu Ritchie on drums. Let's get straight to the music now, and Sheila with the Lerner and Lowe classic from My Fair Lady, Wouldn't It Be Lovely?
All I want is a room somewhere, far away from the cold night air, with one enormous chair, and wouldn't it be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat, lots of cold making, lots of heat, warm hands, warm face, warm feet. Wouldn't it be lovely? Oh, so lovely, sitting absolutely still. I would never budge. The spring crept under my window sill. Someone's head resting on my knee, warm and tender as he can be. He takes good care of me, and wouldn't it be lovely? For me to eat, lots of cold making, lots of heat, warm hands, warm face, warm feet. Wouldn't it be lovely? Wouldn't it be lovely? from the cold night with one enormous chair. And wouldn't it be lovely? Lots of chocolate for me to eat. Lots of cold making lots of heat. Warm hands, warm face, warm feet. And wouldn't it be lovely? Oh, so lovely sitting absolutely still. I would never budge till spring crept under my window sill. Someone's head resting on my knee. A dog, warm and tender as he can be. And he takes good care of me. And wouldn't it be lovely? Lovely, lovely, lovely. Thank you. Oh, my God. Ah. Ready? You came to me and said you needed a place to stay. Oh, well, I said that's fine with me. And though I didn't know that you were a bum, I find my chum, now that it's plain to see, we could have been so very happy together. But I thought that it would be just you and me. I didn't know you planned to bring all of your family. You brought your sister and her husband, her seven children, and she's got one on the way. You brought your uncle and your aunt and their kids and a dog too. He ate my shoe today. Your mother and your brother, they're not so bad. And as for Dad, well, he's all right. Well, he doesn't bite. But tell me, did you really need to bring your wife?
Thank you.
I said that's fine with me. Though I didn't know that you were a bum, I find my chum. Now that is plain to see, we could have been so very happy together, but I thought that it would be just you and me. I didn't know you planned to bring all of your family. You brought your sister and her husband, her seven children, and she's got one on the way. You brought your uncle and your aunt and two cousins and their dog. It ain't my shoe today. Your mother and your brother, they're not so bad. And as for Dad, well, he's all right. Well, he doesn't bite. But tell me, did you really need to bring your wife?
Sheila Jordan, who's won the hearts of all jazz lovers around the world over her long and very respected career, which spans over 60 years. And Sheila, as ever, full of love and joy for performing and for her fellow musicians, who were Brian Kellock on the piano, Kenny Ellis on the bass and Stu Ritchie on drums. Check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website for all the information on the music featured tonight. I'm Claire Martin and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. Next up, insights from both of tonight's featured artists, Sheila Jordan and Kurt Elling, who we will hear concert music from later in the show. Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre caught up with both artists as part of the London Jazz Festival's popular Hear Me Talking to You strand.
Kurt, let me turn to you. Presumably you heard Sheila Jordan when you were coming up as a singer. She must have been a source of inspiration among many other singers as well.
Sheila is one of the great singers that generation after generation has returned to. And for a while, people wondered where she had gone because she didn't have the chance to sing as much as she deserved. And thankfully, by the time I was starting to appear on the scene, then she was making her triumphant return. And so I got to hear her on a number of occasions in different situations and fell in love with her for her charm and for her honesty in the music, for her love for the tradition, and for the fact that she is herself a living part of that tradition. So I'm certainly not the first, and I certainly won't be the last to say, Sheila, how much we love you.
Oh, thank you. You're going to make me emotional. I'm going to have to leave.
Focusing on you, just to introduce Kurt for those who aren't aware, you made your debut in 95, I believe, with Close Your Eyes.
I think thereabouts, yeah.
And you've made a series of albums since that time. You've recorded for Blue Note, which is a link with Sheila, because Sheila made her debut on Blue Note. And you've also recorded for Concord Records. You've just done an album which is themed on the Brill Building classics, the On Broadway record. So there's always been a sense of history and historical continuities in your work, and we're talking about a living legend, Sheila Jordan, with us today. How important is it to have that historical framework around what you do?
Well, for me, and I think for any younger person, and I can't even call myself a younger person anymore, I'm sort of at that right between full and empty. But I think for any younger person who's trying to come up, if they say that they've fallen in love with a sound, and if they tell themselves or are telling anybody else that they've fallen in love with the music, then if you really have fallen in love with the music, don't you want to spend as much time as you can with it? And don't you want to know everything that you can about it? And don't you want to meet the people, as many as you can, who've been integral to its creation and its sustaining? Perhaps the easiest way to say it is that when somebody says to me, wow, man, I really hear Mark Murphy in your voice. I really hear Frank Sinatra in your voice. I really hear John Hendricks in there. Wow, you really studied this guy, didn't you? Then I feel, I mean, that's a compliment, because when you're a kid, you like your Uncle Joe, and somebody says, kid, you're just like your Uncle Joe. And then you say, wow, that's great. I'm just like Uncle Joe. And I feel that way about my jazz family. I feel that I want to have a family resemblance to them in my work. Certainly I want to be myself, and I want to say what I need to say and speak to the time that's happening now. But it's incumbent upon me to make my own claim to the lineage. And the way to do that is to study, to invest myself in the greatest sounds that have preceded me, and to have to digest those sounds so that they are an organic part of what I'm doing, so that there's no more conscious effort in having all those sounds as a part of me. You have your Aunt Suzanne's ears, you have your Uncle Joe's nose, you have, but it's still your face, but you have a family resemblance, and that's what you want. You want to be a part of the family.
Do you feel that way, Sheila, that there's always that lineage that's there when you sing? I know that Charlie Parker's been a huge part of your whole journey as a musician.
Yeah. I never really liked, when I was growing up, first of all, I couldn't afford it, but when I could get 20 cents, that's how much 78 records were at one time, if you can believe that. I would buy a Bird record or a Bebop record, you know. But I loved all the singers, but I tried not to sing with them because I didn't want to steal. I felt I was stealing. Plus, more importantly, who had the voice of a Sarah Vaughan? Who can scat like Ella Fitzgerald? And, well, Billie Holiday is without saying, you know. But, it was Bird for me. It was Charlie Parker, you know. I didn't care whether I made a record or worked or whatever at the music. I just wanted to sing.
Do you remember the first Charlie Parker piece?
Now's the
that
time.
Yeah. And what effect did it have on you? Because it's an iconic piece of music.
Changed my life. I was in Detroit. I was about 14. I think I was 14. Teenager, very young teenager. And I had a couple of pennies, or I think it was a nickel at the time, and I was always playing the jukebox. You know, we used to have jukeboxes. And I saw this one thing, Charlie Parker and his Reboppers. And I said, oh, wonder what that's like. Because I was singing, like, you know, still doing my little singing here and there after I got back in high school, because I didn't have that crazy making fun of me as I had in Pennsylvania. So I said, oh, I wonder what this sounds like. I put it on. Oh, four notes. I was hooked. I said, oh, my God, what is that? I'll dedicate my life to this music. Whether I sing it, whatever, I'll dedicate my life to this music. And that's what I've done.
Great. We're going to go to a first piece of music that you may have heard or may not have heard, which was recorded by Sheila several years ago. It's a piece that was written by another great singer called Abby Lincoln. Yeah. And it's called Bird Alone, which I believe is a dedication to Charlie Parker.
Bird alone, flying high, flying through a clouded sky, sending soulful, mournful sounds. Soaring over troubled grounds, bird alone with no mate, turning corners, tempting fate, flying circles in the air. Soaring on the wind, you're a sight of glory, flying away. What what's your story? Bird alone, fly low over where the grasses grow, swinging low, they're not of sight. You'll be singing.
You said to me just before we came on that you didn't enjoy listening to your own records.
I don't. I hear myself after I've gotten a recording together. I listen to which takes I'm going to use if it's in the studio. I do that and I get it together and I listen to the final thing of it and then I never listen to it again.
Until you get situations like this.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm dying here. everything, I hear everything. I could have gone here, I could have done that. You know,
Welcome to jazz hell in London. But seriously, that piece is important because it's by another great singer,
Abby Lincoln. She was fantastic.
She was also a great composer as well, a great writer.
Yes, that's right.
When did you first hear her sing?
I heard Abby with the Max, and actually,
Max Roach.
Yes, actually, I went to her wedding. Mingus, it was me and Ornette Coleman and George Russell went in his little green Volkswagen.
Right. Let's just stop for a moment there and take that sentence again, because I feel that that's such an incredibly legendary, beautiful thing to say that I need to hear it again. It's just too hip for words. Going to Max and Abby's wedding in a green Volkswagen with Mingus and Ornette?
No, not Mingus. He couldn't fit in it.
Indeed.
No. But Mingus was there. But we went, it was me, George Russell, and Ornette Coleman.
Wow. That really
And it was a fantastic wedding.
I bet it was.
Oh, it was fantastic. But she was very beautiful and incredible actress and an incredible songwriter-singer.
I get the sense that when you're singing, when you're performing, in all the live recordings that you've done that I've heard, that it's important for you to name-check those singers and to talk about them, to invoke the memory of Charlie Parker or Thelonious Monk or mm-hmm. Bobby Timmons or whoever comes to mind.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yeah. But it was George Russell. He paid to have a tape made of me, a cassette or whatever you call it. I don't know what you called it then. What do they call it now? Anyway, he took it to Blue Note. He took it to Mercury, and Quincy Jones was the A&R man at that time. And so Quincy also was going to record me, but I'd already signed with Blue Note for one recording. So that's what happened. But then I didn't record again for years. But then I never went and asked to record. You know, I was happy with working my little gig in the village and, you know, working my office job. And well, it was cool. What? I supported the music till it could support me.
What was the office job?
I worked for an advertising agency as a typist. And anytime they want Doyle Dane Birnbach, very hip. Birnbach was very hip. Because one time I went to lunch with my friends, and Bill Birnbach was having lunch with Miles Davis. I said, oh, my God. No wonder this agency is so hip. So every time they wanted, like, a jazz sound in a commercial, he'd say, call Sheila. And then I'd go up and do a commercial.
Kurt, let's turn to you. We're going to hear your interpretation of a piece written by Betty Carter. She wrote this wonderful song called Tight, mm-hmm. which you covered. Again, a similar question to the one that I asked Sheila. When did you first hear her, and what kind of effect did it have upon you as a vocalist?
When did I first hear Betty? I think the first record I heard of Betty's was The Audience with Betty Carter, but the first time I heard her was live at the Jazz Showcase in Chicago. And I knew that she was doing extraordinary things because of the energy that was emanating from the stage. And there was certainly a thrill, but I couldn't figure out what it was that was happening, because even though I recognized the lyrics, she was reinventing everything from the ground up, which of course was her trademark. It was her gift, and the thing that she strove for primarily was to reinvent entirely any melody that she encountered. So it's interesting, because when I thought about doing this recording of hers, Tight, this tune of hers, which is super hip, you know, for me to do it in a different way from her meant to actually play more inside. Because she was just took it so far every time she touched anything, you know. And I'll give you an example. I really feel like some singers on some recordings own pieces of music. You can't exceed the kind of excellence of emotion and artistry of what certain recordings offer. And on The Audience with Betty Carter, she does that very famous version of Spring Can Hang You Up the Most, which doesn't sound anything like what Fran Landesman wrote. I mean, it's zero melody of what Fran, but it doesn't matter, because Betty is expressing with such grace and eloquence the feelings within that song, and not as a single emotional. She's not playing a single emotional note. She's playing the whole play of emotions. There's laughter, and there's tears, and there's regret, and there's hopefulness, and there's feeling foolish, and there's being brave anyway. And it's all in the same recording. And at the same time, she's masterfully creating melodies in order to be emotionally transparent, which is, for my mind, one of the hallmark examples of the greatest jazz artists. It's the perfect marriage of emotional transparency with virtuosic level musical delivery.
But that's the point. She doesn't lose you in the middle of all of that virtuosity.
I think she lost plenty of people.
but not the people who are really listening. You know, and the musicians respected
her. Well, the musicians had better step up when they're with Miss Betty, because she'll take you out.
Is it true, Sheila, that she was one of the few singers who could cut a musician on stage in the cutting contest?
Oh, yeah, I saw her do it. You can't swing.
Yeah. She would not only cut him, she would tell him she cut him.
Yeah. Oh, God.
On that note, I think we should listen to Betty Carter's spirit being invoked here with the composition Tight, as performed by Kurt Elling.
I don't know where my gal is. Where can she be? What is she doing? I've been looking and searching, asking questions all over town. My baby, I'm hoping she'll be found. I'm on the loose and I don't dig it. Take my advice, if you find a girl, boy, hold on tight. Don't let her, don't let her hold on to that girl tight. Questions all over town. My baby, I'm hoping she can be found. I'm on the loose, I'm on the outs, I'm on the juice, and I don't dig it. Take my advice, if you find a girl, boy, hold on. Don't let her go. Don't let her hold on to that girl tight. Don't let her go. Hold on to her, hold on to her, hold on to that gal tight.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being a wonderful audience.
Thank you so much.
Okay, one more time, Kurt Elling and Sheila Jordan.
Some amazing insights into the worlds of Sheila Jordan and Kurt Elling, who we're talking to, Kevin Legendre. I'm Claire Martin, and this is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 on 90 to 93 FM, online and on digital radio. And remember, you can catch us on the BBC iPlayer for the next 7 days. But time now for some more music, and on to the headline set from Kurt Elling, who has a thrilling stage presence and obviously a huge and dedicated fan base here in the UK, as you'll hear the audience go wild for him. Recorded at the Queen Elizabeth Hall at the South Bank Centre as part of the 2012 London Jazz Festival on November the 14th. And here's Kurt in fine voice with his quartet, who are Lawrence Hopgood on piano, John McLean on guitar, Clark Summers on bass and Brian Carter on drums. The band open with the Sammy Kahn, Jimmy Van Heusen standard, taken from Kurt's new recording, which brilliantly demonstrates the art of reimagining a song, Come Fly With Me. So here's the man himself, Kurt Elling.
come fly, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic views, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly away. One-man band, and he'll tune his flute for you. Come on, fly with me. Let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you a beer, I'll be holding you so near. You might even hear all the angels cheering, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a gorgeous day. You just say the word, and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. Babe, it's perfect for a flying honeymoon. They say, come fly with me. Darling, let's fly away. Let's fly away. Let's fly away. your hand and we'll glide. Starry-eyed, once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you might even hear all the angels cheering, 'cause we're together. Sunday best. You might think that I look a mess, but I don't believe in getting overdressed. As long as I'm neat inside, I'm satisfied. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I got no notion to come on strong. My big ambition's just to get along. I figure if I ain't died, oh, satisfied. Wow.
So if you've got mountains you wanna move, baby, that kind of action just ain't my groove. There's nothing special that I'm trying to prove. If there's no skin off my hide, I'm satisfied. One more time, right? So let's get tight and lay it on the line. You do your thing, baby, and I'll do mine. Anything we think would be just fine. As long as I can take the ride, I'm satisfied. Satisfying. My goodness, you look good in the dark. Ah, I feel a certain amount of energy that my friend Sheila generated in the room here that I must live up to. She has set the standard so high. After all, she was there when the table was set. And here she still is turning it on. My goodness, I hope she's satisfied. Woo! I know I feel a night to the ground, 'cause I got a hot band for you tonight. I got a hot bunch of boys for you tonight. And for you, and if you don't feel that, then you are deaf, baby. 'Cause these cats are ready to rock. They're ready to do it to you tonight.
say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. They say there's always magic in the air. But when you're walking down the street and you ain't had enough to eat, the glitter rubs right off and you're nowhere. Shine your shoes. They said I won't last too long on Broadway. For home, they all say, but they're dead wrong. I know they are, 'cause I have earned so many scars, and I won't quit till I'm a star on Broadway. Thank you.
powerful way. I catch a Greyhound bus for home, they all say. But they're dead wrong, I know they are, 'cause I have earned so many scars. I won't quit till I'm a star. Was a boy, a certain strange, enchanted boy. They said he traveled very far, very far, over land and sea. Little shy, and said of but very wise was he. Then one day, one magic day, as we spoke of men, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest joy just to love and be loved in return. There was a boy, a certain strange enchanted boy. Said he traveled very far, very far, over land and sea. Little shy and said of I, but very wild and lies was he. Then one day, magic day, he came my way. And as we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this to me, the greatest joy you will ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. Thank you.
Curling and his quartet finishing with Nature Boy. Check out the playlist via the Radio 3 website for all the information on the music featured tonight. Well, that's it for this week's show. Next week on Jazz Lineup, please join me for concert music from Martin Taylor and Alan Barnes, recorded at the Scarborough Jazz Festival. Plus an interview with Roxy Music frontman Brian Ferry about his intriguing new album, The Jazz Age, which takes his music and then reimagines it in the style of the 1920s. And remember, plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday night at 11. And this week he features a concert set from vocalist Naina Cherry and The Thing. From me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.
This is Through the Night on Radio 3, and I'm Susan Sharp, delighted to have your company. Chamber music first this morning for violin and piano, a recital given by the exciting young Italian violinist Marcus Piacci and the Romanian pianist Roxana Baidecki. They're beginning with the second of the Brahms violin sonatas, all three of them inspired by Brahms' long-standing friend, the violinist Josef Joachim. But Joachim had recently divorced his wife, so relations between Brahms and his friend had become strained for a while, and Joachim didn't have his usual privileged first look at this A major sonata. The first performance took place in Vienna, and the violinist was Josef Helmersberger, leader of the famous Helmersberger String Quartet.